Hi everyone, it's Emily, and welcome back to this week's Flashlight Readers Club. As you know, last week we finished the Clementine book, so you can read those here on the St. Mark's website. And this week we were able to finish another book called The Magic Finger. This book is written by Roald Dahl and illustrated by Quentin Blake. So let's get started. Introducing Girl, Philip Gregg, William Gregg, and Mr. and Mrs. Gregg. The farm next to ours is owned by Mr. and Mrs. Gregg. The Greggs have two children, both of them boys. Their names are Philip and William. Sometimes I go over to their farm and play with them. I am a girl, and I am 8 years old. Philip is also 8 years old. William is 3 years older. He is 10. What? Oh, all right then. He is 11. Last week, something very funny happened to the Gregg family. I'm going to tell you about it as best I can. Now, the one thing that Mr. Gregg and his two boys loved to do more than anything else was to go hunting. Every Saturday morning, they would take their guns and go off into the woods and look for animals and birds to shoot. Even Philip, who was only 8 years old, had a gun of his own. I can't stand hunting. I just can't stand it. It doesn't seem right to me that men and boys should kill animals just for the fun they get out of it. So I used to try to stop Philip and William from doing it every time I went over to their farm. I would do my best to talk them out of it, but they only laughed at me. I even said something about it once to Mr. Gregg, but he just walked past me as if I weren't there. Then, one Saturday morning, I saw Philip and William coming out of the woods with their father, and they were carrying a lovely young deer. This made me so cross, I started shouting at them. The boys laughed and made faces at me, and Mr. Gregg told me to go home and mind my own business. Well, that's what I did. I saw red, and before I was able to stop myself, I did something I never meant to do. I put the magic finger on them all. Oh dear, I even put it on Mrs. Gregg, who wasn't there. I put it on the whole Gregg family. For months, I had been telling myself that I would never put the magic finger upon anyone again, not after what happened to my teacher, old Miss Winter. Poor old Miss Winter. One day, we were in class, and she was teaching us spelling. "Stand up," she said to me, "and spell cat." "That's an easy one," I said. "K-A-T." "You are a silly little girl," Miss Winter said. "I am not a silly little girl," I cried. "I'm a very nice little girl." "Go and stand in the corner," Miss Winter said. Then I got cross, and I saw red, and I put the magic finger on Mrs. Winter, good and strong, and almost at once, guess what? Whiskers began growing out of her face. They were long black whiskers, just like the ones you see on a cat, only much bigger. Oh, and how fast they grew. Before we had time to think, they were out to her ears. Of course, the whole class started screaming with laughter, and then Miss Winter said, "Will you all be so kind as to tell me what you all find so madly funny? All of you?" And when she turned to write something down on the blackboard, we saw that she had grown a tail as well. It was a huge, bushy tail. I cannot begin to tell you what happened after that, but if any of you are wondering whether Miss Winter is quite all right again now, the answer is no, and she never will be. The magic finger is something I have been able to do all my life. I can't tell you just how I do it, because I don't even know myself. But it always happens when I get cross, when I see red. Then I get very, very hot all over. Then the tip of my forefinger on my right hand begins to tingle most terribly. And suddenly a sort of flash comes out of me. A quick flash, like something electric. It jumps out and touches the person who has made me cross. And after that, the magic finger is upon them, and things begin to happen. Well, the magic finger is now upon the whole of the Gregg family, and there was no taking it off again. I ran home and waited for things to happen. They happened fast. I shall now tell you what those things were. I got the whole story from Philip and William the next morning after it was all over. In the afternoon of the very same day, I put the magic finger on the Gregg family. Mr. Gregg and Philip and William went out hunting once again. This time, they were going after wild ducks, so they headed towards the lake. In the first hour, they got 10 birds. In the next hour, they got another 6. "What a day," cried Mr. Gregg. "This is the best yet." He was beside himself with joy. Just then, 4 more wild ducks flew over their heads. They were flying very low. They were easy to hit. Bang, 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 went the guns. The ducks flew on. "We missed," said Mr. Gregg. "That's funny." Then, to everyone's surprise, the 4 ducks turned around and came flying right back to the guns. "Hey," said Mr. Gregg, "what on earth are they doing? They are really asking for it this time." He shot at them again. So did the boys. And again, they all missed. Mr. Gregg got very red in the face. "It's the light," he said. "It's getting too dark to see. Let's go home." So they started for home, carrying with them the 16 birds they had shot before. But the 4 ducks would not leave them alone. They now began flying around and around the hunters as they walked. Mr. Gregg did not like it one bit. "Be off," he cried, and he shot at them many more times. But it was no good. He simply could not hit them. All the way home, those 4 ducks flew around the sky above their heads, and nothing would make them go away. Late that night, after Philip and William had gone to bed, Mr. Gregg went outside to get some wood for the fire. He was crossing the yard when all at once he heard the call of a wild duck in the sky. He stopped and looked up. The night was very still. There was a thin yellow moon over the trees on the hill, and the sky was filled with stars. Then Mr. Gregg heard the noise of wings flying low over his head, and he saw the 4 ducks, dark against the night sky, flying very close together. They were going around and around the house. Mr. Gregg forgot about the firewood. He hurried back indoors, and he was now quite afraid. He did not like what was going on, but he said nothing about it to Mrs. Gregg. All he said was, "Come on, let's go to bed. I feel tired." So they went to bed and to sleep. When morning came, Mr. Gregg was the first to wake up. He opened his eyes. He was about to put out a hand for his watch to see the time, but his hand wouldn't come out. "That's funny," he said. "Where's my hand?" He lay still, wondering what was up. Maybe he had hurt his hand in some way. He tried the other hand. That wouldn't come out either. He sat up. Then, for the first time, he saw what he looked like. He gave a yell and jumped out of bed. Mrs. Gregg woke up, and when she saw Mr. Gregg standing there on the floor, she gave a yell too. For he was now a tiny little man. He was maybe as tall as the seat of a chair, but no taller. And where his arms had been, he had a pair of duck wings instead. But, cried Mrs. Gregg, going purple in the face. "My dear man, what's happened to you?" "What's happened to both of us, you mean?" shouted Mr. Gregg. It was Mrs. Gregg's turn now to jump out of bed. She ran to look at herself in the glass, but she was not tall enough to see into it. She was even smaller than Mr. Gregg, and she, too, had got wings instead of arms. "Oh, oh, oh," she sobbed. And both of them started running around the room, flapping their wings. A minute later, Philip and William burst in. The same thing had happened to them. They had wings and no arms, and they were really tiny. They were about as big as robins. "Mama, mama, mama," chirped Philip. "Look, mama, we can fly." And they flew up into the air. "Come down at once," said Mrs. Gregg. "You're much too high." But before she could say another word, Philip and William had flown right out the window. Mr. and Mrs. Gregg ran to the window and looked out. The 2 tiny boys were now high up in the sky. Then Mrs. Gregg said to Mr. Gregg, Do you think we could do that, my dear?" "I don't see why not," Mr. Gregg said. "Come on, let's try." Mr. Gregg began to flap his wings hard, and all at once he went up. Then Mrs. Gregg did the same. "Help!" she cried as she started going up. "Save me!" "Come on," said Mr. Gregg. "Don't be afraid." So out the window they flew, far up into the sky, and it did not take them long to catch up with Philip and William. Soon the whole family was flying around and around together. "Oh, isn't it lovely?" cried William. "I've always wanted to know what it feels like to be a bird." "Your wings are not getting tired, are they, dear?" Mr. Gregg asked Mrs. Gregg. "Not at all," Mrs. Gregg said. "I could go on forever." "Hey, look down there," said Philip. "Somebody's walking in our garden." They all looked down, and there below them, in their own garden, they saw 4 enormous ducks. The ducks were as big as men. And what is more, they had great long arms like men, instead of wings. The ducks were walking in a line to the door of the Greggs' house, swinging their arms and holding their beaks high in the air. "Stop!" called the tiny Mr. Gregg, flying down low over their heads. "Go away! That's my house!" The ducks looked up and quacked. The first one put out a hand and opened the door of the house and went in. The others went in after him. The door shut. The Greggs flew down and sat on the wall near the door. Mrs. Gregg began to cry. Oh, dear," she sobbed. "They have taken our house. What shall we do? We have no place to go." Even the boys began to cry a bit now. "We will be eaten by cats and foxes in the night," said Philip. "I want to sleep in my own bed," said William. "Now then," said Mr. Gregg, "it isn't any good crying. That won't help us. Shall I tell you what we're going to do?" "What?" they said. Mr. Gregg looked at them and smiled. "We are going to build a nest."
"A nest," they said. "Can we do that?"
"We must do it," said Mr. Gregg. "We've got to have somewhere to sleep. Follow me." They flew off into a tall tree, and right at the top of it, Mr. Gregg chose for them to place their nest. "Now, we want sticks," he said. "Lots and lots of sticks. Off you go, all of you, and find them and bring them back here."
"But we have no hands," said Philip.
"Then use your mouths." Mrs. Gregg and the children flew off. Soon they were back, carrying sticks in their mouths. Mr. Gregg took the sticks and started to build the nest. "More," he said. "I want more and more and more sticks. Keep going." The nest began to grow. Mr. Gregg was very good at making these sticks stick together. After a while, he said, "That's enough sticks now. I want leaves and feathers and things like that to make it nice and soft inside." The building of the nest went on and on. It took a long time, but at last it was finished. "Try it," said Mr. Gregg, hopping back. He was very pleased with his work.
"Oh, isn't it lovely," cried Mrs. Gregg, going into it and sitting down.
"I feel I might lay an egg at any moment." All the others got in beside her.
"How warm it is," said William.
"And what fun to be living up so high," said Philip. "We may be small, but nobody can hurt us up here."
"But what about food?" said Mrs. Gregg. "We haven't had anything to eat all day."
"That's right," Mr. Gregg said. "So now we will fly back to the house and go in by an open window and get a tin of biscuits when the ducks aren't around."
"Oh, we will be pecked to bits by those dirty great ducks," said Mrs. Gregg.
"We shall be very careful, my love," said Mr. Gregg. And they went off. But when they got to the house, they found all the windows and doors closed. There was no way in.
"Just look at that beastly duck cooking at my stove," cried Mrs. Gregg as she flew past the kitchen. "How dare she?"
"And look at that one holding my gun," shouted Mr. Gregg.
"And one of them is lying in my bed," yelled William, looking on into a top window.
"And one of them is playing with my electric train," cried Philip.
Oh, dear," said Mrs. Gregg. "They have taken over our whole house. We shall never get it back."
"And what are we going to eat?"
"I will not eat worms," said William. "I would rather die."
"Or a slug," said Philip. Mrs. Gregg took the two boys under her wings and hugged them.
"Don't worry," she said. "I can mince it all up very fine for you, and you won't even know the difference. Lovely slug burgers, delicious worm burgers."
"Oh, no," cried William.
"Never," said Philip.
"Disgusting," said Mr. Gregg. "Just because we have wings doesn't mean we have to eat bird food. We shall eat apples instead.
Our trees are full of them. Come on."
So they flew off to an apple tree. But to eat an apple without holding it in your hands is not easy at all. Every time you try to get your teeth into it, it just pushes away. In the end, they were able to get a few bites each. And then it began to get dark, so they all flew back to the nest to lay down. It must have been at about this time that I, back in my own house, picked up the telephone and tried to call Philip. I wanted to see if the family was all right.
"Hello?" I said.
"Quack," said a voice at the other end.
"Who is it?" I said.
"Quack, quack."
"Philip?" I said. "Is that you?"
"Quack, quack, 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 quack."
"Oh, stop it," I said.
Then there came a very funny noise. It was like a bird laughing. I put down the telephone quickly.
"Oh, that magic finger," I cried. "What has it done to my friends?"
That night, while Mr. and Mrs. Gregg and Philip and William were trying to get some sleep up in the high nest, a great wind began to blow. that rocked the tree from side to side. And everyone, even Mr. Gregg, was afraid that the nest would fall down. Then came the rain. It rained and rained, and the water ran into the nest, and it got as wet as could be. And oh, it was a bad, bad night. At last, the morning came, and with it the warm sun. "Well," said Mrs. Gregg, "thank goodness that's over. I never want to sleep in a nest again." She got up and looked over the side. "Help!" she cried. "Look! Look down there!" "What is it, my love?" said Mr. Gregg. He stood up and peeped over the side. He got the surprise of his life. On the ground below them stood the four enormous ducks as tall as men, and three of them were holding guns in their hands. One had Mr. Gregg's gun, one had Philip's gun, and one had William's gun. The guns were all pointing right up at the nest. "No, no, no," called out Mr. and Mrs. Gregg both together. "Don't shoot, please don't shoot." "Why not?" said one of the ducks. It was the one who wasn't holding a gun. "You're always shooting at us." "Oh, but that's not the same," said Mr. Gregg. "We are allowed to shoot ducks." "Who allows you?" asked the duck. "We allow each other," said Mr. Gregg. "Very nice," said the duck. "And now we are going to allow each other to shoot you." I would have loved to have seen Mr. Gregg's face just then. "Oh, please," cried Mrs. Gregg. "My two little children are up here with us. You wouldn't shoot my children." "Yesterday, you shot my children," said the duck. "You shot all six of my children." "I'll never do it again," cried Mr. Gregg. "Never, never, never." "Do you really mean that?" asked the duck. "I do mean it," said Mr. Gregg. "I'll never shoot another duck as long as I live." "That is not good enough," said the duck. "What about deer?" "I'll do anything you say if you only put those guns down," cried Mr. Gregg. "I'll never shoot another duck or another deer or anything else ever again." "Will you give me your word on that?" said the duck. I will," said Mr. Gregg. "And will you throw away your guns?" asked the duck. "I will break them into tiny bits," said Mr. Gregg. "And never again need you be afraid of me or my family." "Very well," said the duck. "You may now come down. And by the way, may I congratulate you on the nest? For a first effort, it's pretty good." Mr. and Mrs. Gregg and Philip and William hopped out of the nest and flew down. Then, all at once, everything went black before their eyes. They couldn't see. At the same time, a funny feeling came over all of them, and they heard a great wind blowing in their ears. Then, the black that was before their eyes turned to blue, to green, to red, and then to gold. And suddenly, there they were, standing in the lovely bright sunshine in their own garden, near their own house, and everything was back to normal at once. "Our wings have gone," cried Mr. Gregg, "and our arms have come back. And we are not so tiny anymore," laughed Mrs. Gregg. "Oh, I'm so glad." Philip and William began dancing with joy. Then, high above their heads, they heard the call of a wild duck. They all looked up, and they saw the four birds, lovely against the blue sky, flying very close together, heading back to the lake in the woods. It must have been about half an hour later that I walked into the Gregg's garden. I had come to see just how things were going, and I must admit, I was expecting the worst. At the gate, I stopped and stared. It was quite a sight. In one corner, Mr. Gregg was smashing all three guns into tiny pieces with a huge hammer. In another corner, Mrs. Gregg was placing beautiful flowers upon 16 tiny mounds of soil, which I learned later were the graves of the ducks that had been shot the day before. And in the middle of the yard stood Philip and William, with a sack of their father's best barley beside them. They were surrounded by ducks, doves, pigeons, sparrows, robins, larks, and many other kinds that I did not know, and the birds were eating the barley that the boys were scattering by their handful. "Good morning, Mr. Gregg," I said. Mr. Gregg lowered his hammer, and he looked at me. "My name is not Gregg anymore," he said. "In honor of my feathered friends, I have changed it from Gregg to Egg." "And I am Mrs. Egg," said Mrs. Gregg. "What happened?" I asked. They seemed to have gone completely dotty, all four of them. Philip and William had begun to tell me the whole story. When they had finished, William said, "Look, there's the nest. Can you see it? Right up in the top of that tree. That's where we slept last night." "I built it all myself," Mr. Egg said proudly. "Every stick of it." If you don't believe us, Mrs. Zegg said, just go into the house and take a look at the bathroom. It's a mess. They filled the tub right up to the brim, Philip said. They must have been swimming around in it all night. And feathers are everywhere. Ducks like water, Mr. Egg said. I'm glad they had a good time. Just then, from somewhere over the lake, there came a loud bang. Someone's shooting, I cried. That'll be Jim Cooper, Mr. Egg said. Him and his three boys, they're shooting mad. Those Coopers are. The whole family. Suddenly, I started to see red. Then I got very hot all over. Then the tip of my finger began tingling most terribly. I could feel the power building up and up inside me. I turned and started running towards the lake as fast as I could. Hey, shouted Mr. Egg. What's up? Where are you going? To find the Coopers, I called back. But why? You wait and see, I said. They'll be nesting in the trees tonight. Every one of them. The end. And that's it for the Magic Finger book. So if you join us next week, we're going to be starting a new book. And I hope you enjoyed this week's book.